It is said that there are two kinds of people in the world, those who divide the world into two kinds of people and those who don't, or those who can count and those who can't, or those who make lists and those who don't, or those who have a clean house and those who have kids and dogs. And so on. There are a number of valid answers, most of them assuming opposite options. Now, there are still some people who believe that there are two kinds of people in the world, good people and bad people. But life is not as simple as that. We're all much more complicated, and the older we get, the more obvious it is that we're all a mixture of good and bad. The biblical stories themselves are filled with a mixture of opposing characters, people who have these two sides going on in them all the time. Abraham is a man of great faith. He has such faith that he is willing to move his entire family to a new land in order to show his faithfulness to God. But as faithful as Abraham is, he doubts God's abilities. And in one instance, tries to pass off his wife as his sister just to keep the Pharaoh happy, and another time having a child with another woman because he doubts God's promise to provide him with his promised son. Jacob's son, Joseph, is bright and charming and the apple of his father's eye, but he is also a braggart and about as sensitive as a Brillo pad, boasting about the dreams he has that portray all his brothers bowing down to his star qualities. David is perhaps the most beloved ruler in the history of Israel, but he is also an adulterer who resorts to trickery and even murder when he has to cover up his tracks. Peter makes a great proclamation of faith. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he says to Jesus. And shortly later is cowering in the shadows of a campfire when Jesus is dragged off to die. What kind of person do you want to be? I want to be a person of integrity, you might say. I want to be a person who is happy. I want to be a person who is confident. We may know what kind of person it is we want to be, but being that person, day in and day out, is another story. Because even though we strive for integrity, there are times when we are willing to compromise our morals. Even if we are happy, there are times when we just can't seem to smile. And even if we are confident, that confidence can quickly turn into self-doubt when some part of our life is upended. Deciding what kind of person we want to be, and then being that person day in and day out, is so complicated because every day we're forced to answer that question according to the choices we have to make in that day. And what complicates it all even further is that we are forced to answer the question based on the choices that other people make. Being the kind of person we want to be isn't something that happens in an isolated bubble where it would be very easy. It is dependent on how we choose to respond to people and situations that confront us every step of the way. It didn't take Moses to find this out once he began to lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt. For 400 years, the Hebrews, the Israelites, had been slaves in Egypt, displaced from their homeland, and treated miserably. They cry out for deliverance. They beg to be taken from slavery. And enter Moses, a Hebrew himself by birth, but raised in the house of Pharaoh. Moses lives a pretty good life, and just when he thinks it's on track in his adult years and he's getting settled, God calls him to lead the people out of Egypt and take them back to their promised land. Moses accepts very reluctantly and after much heavenly persuasion. He has no clue when he takes on the job that it's going to take him 40 years to make a journey that should have taken just a few years. And during those 40 years, the people he is leading gripe and complain every step of the way. And they hardly get across the Red Sea with the echoes of Pharaoh wanting to kill them all still in their ears, and they start. "We don't like the food in the wilderness," they say. We had it so much better back there in Egypt. Remember all that bread we had to eat? Well, we'd just all be better off dead. And then, "Moses, we're so thirsty. The water here doesn't taste very good. We want to go home. We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back and be slaves." I mean, gripe and complain and gripe. Okay, to give you a modern-day parallel, Moses was on the ultimate road trip, not just with a van full of tired and whining kids, but tens of thousands of them for 40 straight years. Oh, what a nightmare. You got to appreciate what Moses is trying to do. He is struggling to be faithful to the task God has given him, but it is not easy. Time and again, he is challenged in his struggle by the actions and reactions of people who don't even seem very likable, let alone worth all the trouble that they cause. Well, the ultimate test of Moses' character comes when he hikes up to the top of Mount Sinai and God gives him the commandments. Now, we usually think of this as just being 10 commandments, but if you read through the book of Exodus, which I mercifully condensed for you this morning, you'll find that not only are there 10 commandments, there are 12 straight pages of commandments. Really, the 10 commandments are almost like the Reader's Digest version of the commandments. 10 maybe was all that fit on those two large tablets that were written on front and back. It would have broken Moses' back for sure if God had said, "Hey, write it all down, all these 12 pages, and carry them back to the people." It was a heavy enough load for Moses to carry. Well, while Moses is up on the mountaintop taking holy dictation from God, the people get impatient, and so they decide, "Well, let's just take things into our own hands. We're tired of waiting on Moses." So they take all their gold jewelry and they melt it down and they mold it into the shape of a calf, and then they let loose with a hoedown to beat the band. This is what Moses finds as he weaves his weary way back down Mount Sinai carrying that load of tablets. And it is nearly the straw that breaks the camel's back. So Moses, in a not very pretty scene, pitches a huge hissy fit. He flings the stone tablets on the ground and smashes them to smithereens, and that gets everyone's attention. Well, Moses' anger is completely justified. There he's been on the mountain slaving over a hot stone tablet, and no one even appreciates him a bit. And God is angry. But that's not the end of the story. With God's encouragement, Moses carves two new stone tablets. He hikes his way back to the top of the mountain, and he and God sit down, and together they figure out a new set of commandments to take back to the Israelites. I mean, with all the griping, complaining, and the things they've done behind his back, why would Moses even bother to care anymore? Well, despite his disappointment in the people, Moses still wasn't ready to give up on them. He begs and he pleads with God to spare the people, to give them another chance. Moses chose at that moment what kind of person he wanted to be. He wanted to be a person who kept trying, kept striving to be faithful in the midst of great odds, despite grave disillusionment and obstacles of every sort getting in his way. Moses chose to be the kind of person who didn't give up. Rabbi Kushner writes, A large part of Moses' wisdom was his ability to keep sight of the goodness in people, even in people who disappointed him deeply. He could look at the Israelites after the giving of the law and see how many of God's rules they were breaking every day, but at the same time, he was able to see them doing good things, acts of kindness, acts of self-restraint, acts of charity, things they would not have done had they not come into the presence of God at Mount Sinai. They were less than they might be, maybe even less than they should be, but they were more than they had once been, and that insight was enough to keep them going. When people disappoint us, when life cuts us some crummy breaks, when we ourselves don't even live up to our own expectations, then we have to choose what kind of person we are going to be. Will we be the person who quits trying, who stays stuck in anger, who looks at the world through a pair of pessimistic sunglasses? Or will we choose to be the kind of person who takes one more step forward, who tries to see the good in the people who have let us down? Take off the dark glasses and put on ones that help us still see clearly the beauty and the light that are in the world. Every day, we have a choice to make. What kind of person do we want to be? Despite what the Israelites said, there was no way they could return back to Egypt, back where they came from, back to that life of slavery. I mean, did they really think that Pharaoh was going to welcome them back with open arms after that whole incident with the Red Sea and all those plagues that had been called down upon them? Well, they couldn't stay where they were, stranded out there in the desert, living forever in this time of transition between their past of slavery and their future in the promised land. They couldn't stay stuck where they were. If they wanted to survive as a people, the only direction they could go was to go forward, step by weary step. And they were only able to do that by the grace of a loving and forgiving God and the leadership of a very human man named Moses. Well, Moses had gone back up to the mountaintop to get that second set of commandments, and he brings down with him the stone tablets upon which the new commandments were carved, and then he builds an ark, what we know as the Ark of the Covenant, a large box in which he placed these new tablets God had given him. But Moses put the broken pieces of the original tablets into that ark as well. The broken dreams and the hope for the future living side by side. Kushner writes, "Perhaps the most challenging thing we will ever be called on to do is to remain aware of the redeeming qualities of people who have hurt or disappointed us. It is our biggest challenge. But an equal one is this, to forgive ourselves when we are the ones who hurt or disappoint the people we love. For this is what God does for us in Christ. God sees our faults and our failures, our short fuses and our shortcomings, our fickleness and our faithlessness, and God refuses to stop with that. God also sees the goodness and the greatness, the potential and possibilities, the wonder and the worth that reside in every single one of us. God forgives us for the ways that we have dashed his covenant into pieces. As it says in the book of Hebrews, God says, I will be merciful toward their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. In Christ, God makes this new covenant with us, a new promise that will never be broken, because this covenant is not carved in stone, but etched on the human heart. And so we take the broken pieces of our lives and our dreams and we place them into the hands of Christ. And in so doing, we find healing and the strength to keep trying and to never give up on one another. What kind of person do you want to be? In God, in Christ, God proclaims that there's really only one kind of person in the whole world, a person worth loving, worth dying for, and worth saving. You pray with me. Lord, we may know the kind of person we want to be, but being that person day in and day out is a huge challenge, because we are faced with decisions and choices that other people make, and we must choose how we will respond to the ways we have been hurt or disappointed. Lord, give us the courage and the grace to be people who keep trying, who keep loving, who keep caring, who keep risking, for you have risked everything in giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us life, who gives us promise, who gives us the new covenant with you that will never end. Be with us, O Lord, as we seek to be your glad and faithful people. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, and let all God's people say, Amen.